I'm going to get y'all to remain standing. You're not getting off that easy this morning. We're going to make you stand up the whole time I'm preaching. Just kidding. I've got a song that has been on my heart this week. Should never let your pastor go to a Christian rock concert, because then you have to listen to him try to act like he's a rock star on Sunday morning. So we went to a Christian rock, or not a rock concert, but a worship concert in Charlottesville on Friday night, and it was awesome. And so I kind of made two songs out of one with this, and so what I want y'all to do this morning is to sing along with me. And some of you may have never heard the song or whatever. It's very simple, or I wouldn't be able to sing it or play it. So you have no excuse for me. We're going to try to put the words up there. So we've been talking about how to overcome our trials and all this, and that's what this song talks about, is standing in the love of God is how we conquer trials. Amen? So sing along if you know the song, or even if you just want to come in on the chorus, it just repeats itself. Says to be joyful in the times of trial, but how do we do it? And where it starts is standing in the love of God, standing in a place where you just know, no matter what the world throws at you, God loves you, and there is a God who is there for you. He is not a distant God. He's not a God that hates your guts. He gave His Son for you. That's how you fight your battles, to take it back and remember that place of grace and mercy and love that God gives us. Amen. So that this is how we fight our battles. So that's what we're going to sing. We're just going to spend some time reminding ourselves. This is how we fight our battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Sing with me. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Come on, church. This is how I fight my battles. 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 My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. how I fight my battle. This is 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 how I fight my battles. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody but Corbin can sit down now. Amen. I just want to remind you, if you're a first-time guest or maybe a returning guest, we have these gift bags, so make sure you pick up one on the way out. Just to let you know that we appreciate you being here this morning. So I appreciate each one of you being here today. And I say it every Sunday, but I receive my encouragement and able to fight my battle through the week because of each one of you here. Amen. So if you were here, if you want to go ahead and turn to the book of James, we're going to continue in our study. And like Kat was saying, last week we started this book of James where we saw where he dared to tell us to consider it a great opportunity for great joy, to count it all joy when troubles of any kind come our way. He reminds us that the trials and temptations are going to come. It's not if they come. We saw where he said when they come. If we expect them, we won't be knocked off our feet so easily when the trials come. James told us that if we have the right attitude and an understanding mind, if we try to understand and wrap around our minds around the love of God and how and what He is doing in our life to make us stronger and to make us teach us endurance and all those things, we start to find joy in these times of trouble. And when we actually look at them as an opportunity to grow closer to God, this makes us more mature as a Christian, a more spiritually mature, a stronger Christian, a better Christ follower. Well, today we're going to continue to see where James is going to show us how to conquer these trials and temptations that we so often deal with, sometimes even on Sunday mornings, but most definitely they start on Monday morning. So let's read James 1, and we're going to go 5 through 12. Pick up where we left off, 5 through 12. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. I love that. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave in the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all their achievements. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who believe in Him. What a great promise this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we so often, Lord, we get beat down by the world. We get beat down by the devil. We get beat down by our lack of following what we know to be right, Lord. And the guilt and the shame and all the things that come along with our sin. And Lord, we know that when You stood up out of that tomb on the third day, oh Lord, you broke all that. Lord, You showed us, Lord, that you have the power to overcome our sin, the darkness of sin. And so, Lord, help us, Lord, to stand in that love that You have for us this morning. And Father, I just pray as we go through this scripture, Lord, there's somebody here. Lord, there's somebody here that's going through a trial or a struggle this morning that needs to hear not my words, Lord, but Your words. And so, Lord, I just pray that Your Holy Spirit, as I'm attempting to go through this perfect scripture of Yours, God, I just pray, Lord, that You would work. Your Holy Spirit would be speaking this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage, James gives, last week we had two things. It was an understanding mind. What was the other one? An understanding mind. I don't remember myself. That's why I'm asking. And a joyful attitude. That's right. So a spiritual You got to have that spiritual, that eternal outlook on what is going on in your life in general. In this passage, James has given us, we're going to see three more ways to conquer the trials and temptations of this life. Number one, he says, ask God for wisdom right off the get-go. Number two, he says, rejoice in the status. Wherever you are in this life, rejoice in that. And number three, stay focused on the reward. So ask God for wisdom. This is James telling us right here in the first verse that we're going through today, how you conquer your trials and temptations. You have to lean on the Lord. You have to come to the Lord and you have to say, God, I need your wisdom to get through this. Wisdom is much more than knowledge. I got the chance to go to the chapel this morning over at the academy, and I'm always amazed, I don't know why, about how God works, because I get over there and Reverend Benson says, all right, this morning we're going to preach on wisdom. And then some of the things that he said, I mean, some of the things I was like, man, I missed out on that. I should have wrote that. I should have taken notes because I could have re-preached it to you today. He did a great job, and it was an awesome time message. But wisdom is so much more than knowledge. See, the world is full of people with brains that are filled with knowledge. They're filled with ideas. They're filled with facts. The world is full of people who hold impressive degrees from highly respectable schools. Having knowledge is a very common thing, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of knowledge. But when it comes to conquering their trials and temptations, especially like we were talking about in Ephesians, in the spiritual realms, see, he told us we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against powers of the unseen world. We need much more than a mind full of facts. So what is wisdom? When the Bible says wisdom, what is it talking about? Wisdom is not knowing what to do so much as it is knowing how to do it. So if I have a flat tire in my vehicle when I'm driving down the road, knowing that I've got a spare tire and knowing that that would fix it is not enough. I can't just sit there and say, well, I know that spare tire will go on here and I'll keep going down the road. I have to know how to take what I have and put it to use. I know it's a simple illustration, but that's the way my brain works. Wisdom helps us understand how to deal with the trials and the things of this life, whether it's trials and temptations, whether it's just life in general or death, whether it's dealing with the good and the evil of this world. Wisdom is seeing these things and these part of life and knowing exactly what God wants you to do with them. See, maybe you feel like you need God's wisdom this morning like I do. Maybe you're like me and you feel like you need God's wisdom. Maybe you feel like you know God's promises. Maybe you know the Bible inside and out. Maybe you've studied it. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you're like me and you're just lacking in this wisdom. There's good news, and that's what James says in verse 5. He says, just ask. I like that. He doesn't say you have to do a bunch of stuff. He says, just ask. Just ask God. I've got it written in my Bible in another scripture, and I just read it the other night. It said, don't complicate what God made so simple. And we're going to read that later in Romans where he says, if you want to be saved, just believe in your heart and confess it with your mouth. And I had it written under there where somewhere I'd heard it preached or in my study, and I wrote, don't complicate what God made so simple. He will give you wisdom if you ask. And if we want wisdom, we must check our prayer life. That's where a lot of people don't understand. Well, I don't understand. God's not speaking to me. God's not speaking. A lot of times when I'm complaining, I say, well, God's been so quiet in my life. Well, you know what? If a truth be known, 100% of the time, it's because I haven't been spending my time in prayer and asking him to speak to me. I love what James says in verse 5. He says, ask our generous God. He doesn't say ask our angry God. Unforgiving God. He doesn't say ask our stingy God. Ask our God that doesn't care about you. Ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. It reminds me when Jesus was teaching his disciples and he told them, he said, if your kids ask for a piece of bread, would you give them a snake? You know, or whatever. Remember that parable when he was talking about that? He was like, your heavenly Father wants to give you the best for you. He goes on in verse 6 to 8, James does, to tell us that when we ask, we must really, truly believe with all of our heart. We have to go back to the basics of our faith. Do we really believe? Do we really expect to receive from God what we ask from God? Or are we just throwing out a prayer like a penny in a wishing well? I've been guilty of that myself as well. We must believe that God will give us wisdom, not just some, but a generous amount, that he will fill us up and that his possibilities are endless. We must believe that God will not rebuke us or not scold us or not think less of us for asking for his help. That's what he wants us to do. That's why he sent Jesus Christ to be our help. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit when Jesus ascended into heaven, to be our advocate, to be our helper here on earth. You must believe that God loves you this morning. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter the mistakes that you made this week, God loves you. God absolutely loves you. You must believe that he is your heavenly Father and that he wants to meet your every need. I don't know what you're dealing with this morning. I don't know what everybody's dealing with, but I'm going to tell you right now, you know what you're dealing with. God knows what you're dealing with. Maybe it's a trial. Maybe it's a temptation. I want to tell you that God loves you this morning. And he wants to help you conquer them both, whatever it is. But you have to take the knowledge that you know of God. You have to take the knowledge that's in your brain and connect it to your heart. You have to ask for the wisdom to conquer them both. We have to believe that God is who he says he is. So do you believe that, do you really believe, check yourself this morning, do you really believe that God is who he says he is? Jesus told his followers this in Luke 21:15. He says, "For I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you." I will give you the right words. I will give you such wisdom. This is a promise from Jesus Christ himself. If we're going to conquer our trials and temptations, we must ask for wisdom. And I know we're still hanging out here in the middle of this, but listen to Proverbs 3:13-14. "Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold." See, I love that. Joyful is the person that finds wisdom. We're talking about if you want to be joyful in your trials, if you want to be joyful in the middle of your trial, not just when it's over, like me and Corbin were talking about, when you're in the middle of your trial, if you want to experience joy, it says it right here, joyful is the person who finds wisdom. But remember, we must check ourselves. Where is your loyalty? And that's exactly what James was asking. Where is your loyalty? Where does your loyalty lie? See, we are so divided between God and the world. Think about Peter when he was walking on the water. When he was focused on Jesus and when he just kept his eyes on the Lord. Here he is stepping out of the boat, walking across water, doing the impossible, doing something that seems crazy to man. And as soon as he started doubting, what happened? He began to sink, didn't he? He started sinking. See, we cannot expect God to come running to our rescue if the only time that we want him to come to our rescue, or the only time that we call on him, is when we need to be rescued. And I've been guilty of that. Have you ever, been guilty of that? The only time that you, oh Lord, I remember in school, I never prayed ever, but man, when it was a test day or something, I was like, "Lord, please, if you'll let me pass this test, I will be your follower forever." And the next week, I wasn't studying again, and I wasn't doing anything. See, we cannot expect God to come running to our rescue if the only time we come to him is when we need to be rescued. If we are divided, we are unstable in everything, not just some of the things, but everything we do. Just like a wave that is blown and tossed by the wind. See, we must ask God to work in us. And that's all about this book in James. James is trying to get us to grow up and get out of our comfort zone, get out of that self-centered attitude and become a real Christ follower, a person who seeks others above themselves. See, we have to look at them. We have to ask God to say, "You know what? Before you can work through me, God, work in me. Work in me. Fix all this stuff in me. Fix it. I can't do it. Make me more like you." So we must ask God to work in us before we can expect God to work through us. We must grow up this morning. Next, in verse 9 through 11, James is telling us that if we want to conquer our trials and temptations, we must learn to rejoice wherever we are. To rejoice in our status. Whatever God has given us in this world, we rejoice in it. It doesn't matter whether a person is rich or poor, whether you're healthy or unhealthy, we are to rejoice in the Lord. If you're poor, rejoice in the fact that you have to be more dependent on the Lord. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but that's what he's talking about. If Jesus said it himself, he said, "Blessed are those who are poor." See, if you're poor and you don't have all these worldly possessions, think about it. You've got one less thing, or probably a lot less things, to keep you divided from the Lord, or to keep you, or less things tempting you to spend time with, or to spend your time investing in, or maybe putting all your hope in. James says this in verse 9. He says, "Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them." Now, if somebody from the world read that and they don't believe in Jesus Christ and they hadn't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't have the Holy Spirit in their life, they would say, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. But think about it. Think about it. God wants us to be humble, right? He hates pride. God wants us to remain humble. When you're poor, it usually causes you to remain humble, doesn't it? When you're poor, you usually will do those jobs or take those the places of employment that you normally wouldn't want to take. Those less desirable jobs. When the bill's got to be paid and you've lost your job and you're tight on money, guess what? You're going to do what you got to do. When you are poor, you find yourself more dependent on other people. And so all that pride has to strip away, because guess what? When people want to bless you and give you with something, maybe it's some food or maybe it's some money, they say, Lord, lay this on my heart. This is one of the things that was the hardest for me to do in my life. People were trying to bless me at a time in their life where we were really struggling. And we never told anybody because I was proud. I didn't want anybody to know that. But people would come up to me at church, or people would mail us a check, and they would just say, God laid it on my heart to give you this week. And I didn't want to take it. I didn't want to take it. I said, no, I can't take that. And I remember my pastor at the time, he said, brother, you need to get rid of that pride. He said, you're robbing those people of doing what God told them to do. And he said, and God is trying to bless you, you need to let them do it. See, when you're poor, you usually find it easier to stay aware of God's provisions in your life. I remember those times where I was poorer than I am now. I can tell you right now, I remember seeing things in the checkbook that doesn't make sense. Anybody ever been there? Where you're like, I know there's no way we had a way to pay all those bills, but somehow it happens. Matthew 5:3, we'll go back there again to the Beatitudes. Jesus says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Next, in verse 10 and 11, James says this, and those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers, and the little flower droops and falls. And the beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all of their achievements. That sounds kind of depressing. And it kind of sounds like God hates somebody who's rich. God hates what sometimes being rich brings upon us. That's what he hates. He hates when our loyalty is divided. I don't think James is telling us that it's wrong to work hard and to be successful in life. See, there's always been people who were better off than others. There's always been the poor. There's always been the rich. There's always been people somewhere in the middle. What James is telling us is this. Even when you are rich in this life, you have been humbled because you know those riches ain't going to last forever. They can be here one day and they can be gone the next. And guess what? Just like that old saying, you never seen a hearse with a trailer hitch on it? One day when you die, ain't none of it going to be any good anyways. And Solomon talks about it in Ecclesiastes. He says this. He says, what good is it? It's all vanity. It's all meaningless. We were talking about that yesterday on the ride home from Richmond. Everything in this world is meaningless because it's just temporary. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. I don't believe there's anything wrong with being successful and being responsible with your money and all those things. But you can't worship it. See, what are we doing with God, with what God gave us? Are we worshiping our money? Are we worshiping our stuff? Are we putting it before him? I've heard it preached like this. If you want to find a man's priorities, a person's priorities, look at their checkbook. Boy, that one will convict you every time. Are we worshiping the money and the stuff that God has given us? Or are we willing to give it all away? If God asks us to give it all away, are we willing to do it? To help spread the gospel and the love of Christ. It seems impossible, but when God gets a hold of our heart and God starts to grow us into a more mature Christ follower, we start to get that heavenly perspective on life, and we realize that everything that we have came from him anyways. These same questions need to be asked regarding the church as well. Are we worshiping the money that we have in the church? This is not just our church. I'm talking about the church. Are we worshiping our beautiful buildings and our sanctuaries? Or are we using what God gave us to accomplish his great commission? Think about that. Think about how self-centered we become inside the church. Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. It's all his. What are we doing with it? See, Fork Union Baptist Church should be known as a church that goes. Fork Union Baptist Church should be known as a church that does great things with the money that's given in these plates. When the money gets dropped in these plates, when people give to this church, they ought to know in their heart. They ought to have no doubt. They say, that money is going to a good cause, and that money is going to advance the kingdom of God. Not a church with a large savings account. And so it is with each of us. Whatever status you're in this morning, rejoice, and you'll find it so much easier to conquer the trials and temptations in your life. Jenny sent me this yesterday. It was a quote from Charles Spurgeon. He said this, We are too prone to engrave our trials in marble and write our blessings in the sand. Let that sink in for a minute. We're too prone to engrave our trials in marble and we write our blessings in the sand. I have this watch up here this morning. Many of y'all probably thought it so I wouldn't go over. That's not what it is. All right? I want y'all to know I went out and got me a $300 watch a couple weeks ago. But I didn't pay for it. It was given to me. And it's been used. It's got a little character to it. And the guy that gave it to me is a good friend of mine, a good man of God. He's an awesome dude. And he told me, he said, I went by his house just to check on him. We were just encouraging each other and praying. And we were sitting at the table, and I could see he was burdened with something. And this watch was sitting there. I didn't even pay attention to it. And we're sitting across the table, and we're drinking coffee. And he just slapped the table like that and slapped the watch across. And he said, take that watch, man. I want you to have it. I said, man, I don't want your watch. I said, keep your watch, man. I just came over to talk to you. You don't have to give me your watch. And he said, no. He said, I need you to take this watch. I don't care if you take it and you throw it out the window on your way home. He said, I paid $300 for it. I got it on sale. It was a $500 watch at the time. And he said, it haunts me. It haunts me because I remember the feeling I had when I bought it. When I was chasing the world and when I was chasing after the things of the world, I was chasing after the achievements of the world. And I remember I had a fancy car at the time because I was neglecting my family and I was doing everything I could do to get more money and climb the ladder and be more successful. And he said, I remember the feeling I had when I bought this watch and I hid it from my wife. I went and saved up some money and I went and bought it and I put it on my wrist. And I remember the feeling I had when I wore it and I felt so proud and so prideful. Like I had achieved something, like I was important because of a stupid watch. And he said, it haunts me. And it's the only thing I have left that reminds me of that old life. And he said, I want you to take it. And I said, I don't want that watch. It's cursed. I was like, you take that thing, man. I was like, I don't want that. And he said, seriously, he said, God laid it on my heart. He said, he laid it on my heart right now to give you that watch. And so what I've been doing is I've kept it. I've just been, it's too big for my wrist or I'd wear it and that kind of cool. You know what I mean? But I was like, I've had it on the gear shift of my work vehicle. And I said, you know what? And there was another, Malcolm Warfield was there, who's the seed ministry. They just got back from Uganda. And he said, you know what? He said, I think God's going to give you an opportunity to witness to somebody with that watch. And he said, maybe you can give it to somebody if they'll let you witness to them or whatever. And so I'm going to keep this thing with me. I don't know, maybe there's somebody here today that needs a watch. I'm not going to bribe you to accept the Lord with a watch. I'm not doing that. I'm not trying to do that. But it's a great example of how we have to understand. He said he went to a pawn shop to try to get rid of it, and they only were going to give him $30 for it. Doesn't that sound like a piece of or a flower that's fading away in the sun? What was worth $300 is already worth $30. See, lastly, in verse 12, James reminds us that we are, if we want to be conquerors, we must stay focused on our reward. It's not in earthly possessions. It's not in their achievements. It's heavenly blessings. Listen to what he says in verse 12. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. James tells us right here that a person who perseveres through this life will be blessed. Now, the cool thing is sometimes I think about that. I'm like, well, if we persevere, we're going to get to heaven and everything's going to be great, which is true. But let me tell you what James is telling us right here. He's not telling us that just when we get to heaven, we're going to be blessed. When a believer is patient and perseveres under trials and temptations here on earth, we're blessed in this life with that peace that surpasses all understanding. We are blessed in the here and now. See, in fact, the word blessed here means that inward and spiritual joy and satisfaction. So to be blessed by the Lord, to experience a blessing from the Lord, is to have joy in your soul, to have peace, that inner assurance and confidence that carries us through the hard times in life. No matter what the pain, no matter what the sorrow, no matter what the loss, no matter how much grief we have to deal with, we know that there is a God who loves us. We know that there is a God who cares for us and wants nothing but the best for us. We know there's a God that delivers us from the evil of this world, even death. So even in a time where our life on earth ends, He has delivered us from that if we call on the name of Jesus. You see, I've been saved by a God who gives eternal life this morning. I've been saved, and I serve a God who had a perfect Son that He sacrificed for my sins. It's exactly what James is telling us here. He says the crown of life. We have to understand the crown of life is eternal life. The believer who endures the trials and temptations of this life will be crowned with life itself. Amen? Imagine the moment when you see Jesus face to face, the moment when we are crowned with the crown of life. There'll be no more pain, there'll be no more sorrow, no more grief, no more suffering. All the trials and the temptations that we endured and we had to put up with here on earth, well, not only will they be gone, but I believe that they'll be forgotten in the presence of Jesus. I like the old song, it says, the things of this world are growing strangely dim in the light of your mercy and your grace and your love. So if you're here today, you're in that trial and it seems too dark, too long to endure, ask God for wisdom this morning. Ask yourself this, have I fully surrendered to the Lord, or is my loyalty divided? Because if your loyalty is divided, you're unstable in everything that you do. You're just like that wave that has no direction, it's tossed about by the wind. Ask God for wisdom this morning. Rejoice and thank Him for what you have. And remember what awaits those who give their life to Christ. Revelations 3:11 says this. I promise I'm wrapping it up. Revelation 3:11. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. What a promise. What a word of encouragement. Remember, your fear doesn't stand a chance when you stand in the love of God. This is how you fight your battles this morning. This is how you conquer your trials this morning. And if you're here this morning and all this seems crazy, but you know you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never accepted that free gift of salvation, the free gift of being forgiven of not just some of your sins, but all of your sins, even the ones that nobody knows about but you and the Lord. I would hope that you would come this morning, because the Bible says today, not tomorrow, is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, for the Lord says, at just the right time, I heard you. Can I tell you right now, this morning is just the right time, because we're not guaranteed that we're going to make it home today. We're not guaranteed that our heart's going to beat for another day. God has heard you this morning. God knows your heart, and He knows. And He's heard you at just the right time. On the day of salvation, His word says, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Not tomorrow, not next Sunday, not next week. It is now. Today is the day of salvation. That's right out of the promises of God in the Bible. I want to encourage you, if this is you this morning, if something is going on, maybe there's a trial, maybe you just want to surrender it all to the Lord this morning. Maybe your loyalty's been divided. Maybe you've never accepted the Lord this morning. Don't let fear of coming and letting the Lord run all over you and take control of your life. It's not a ball and chain. When God comes in, He might ask you to do some crazy stuff in your life. He might ask you to do some things that seem impossible. But along with that comes joy and peace and all those things that only He can give us. I have it written in my Bible somewhere where it says, fear will keep you up all night, but peace makes the best pillow ever. I heard that preached somewhere, and I don't even remember where it was. Fear will keep you up all night, but peace is the best pillow ever. If you're here this morning, I want to encourage you to come as we sing, I Surrender All. How fitting, John. We don't work this stuff out. I Surrender All, number 275. If God is calling you this morning, come as we sing. Remember what Romans tells us in chapter 10. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you believe in your heart, then you will be saved. There is an action on our part. We can stand. Let's sing. I'm just going to keep preaching. Don't complicate what God makes so simple. But we have a part to play in. We have a part to play in it this morning. We must surrender to the Lord. And surrender means you got to get out of your comfort zone and you got to confess with your mouth. And you got to come up here and you got to tell the world, say, you know what, I'm going to follow Christ this morning. Amen? This is how we conquer trials, church. This is how we conquer the temptations of life. Let's sing.